you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the very first chapter. As I bit with, you know, this is kind of an easy time of year in that, as a pastor, you're thinking I should do something Christmassy. And the tough thing about that is trying to not do the same thing every year. But as I've been, studying, praying, thinking about this, and in a lot of ways just for this year, this truth that Jesus came to be God with us has maybe taken a little deeper meaning for me this year. Because, face it, this year's been a little different. Christmas is a little different this year. I came across this picture here. Not this one, the next one. And it made me kind of laugh, but somebody who has my sense of humor. I don't know if you've seen it. The camel, I will bear him gifts. The donkey, I will carry him. The fish, I will pay his taxes. I think that's a cow. I will quench his thirst. The dove, I will bless his baptism. Not quite sure what the next animal is, but it says, I will feed him. And the sheep says, I will warm him. And then the pig says, I will let him fill me with demons. Then I'll jump off a cliff and, wait, what? But people thinking about the animals there probably at the manger. And then I ran across this this week. A toilet paper Christmas tree. How appropriate for this year. And even the church invites are a little bit different. The skit guys, how many love the skit guys? They're so much fun. They came out with a new invite for Christmas services this year. Go ahead and watch it.
Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of a Messiah. Ye shall find the babe.
By logging on, just go to the church website. But also, you can come to the Christmas Eve services that we will be, safe and everything. Yeah, we're just social distancing, just, trying to take care of each other.
Social distancing?
Why are you still standing there? Grab your laptop and log on, or head to the church if that's your preference, and celebrate the birth of Jesus.
I'll socially distance, but I'm going to church.
I'm gonna go to my mom's house. She's got the fastest internet in town.
Invite friends, especially for the Christmas Eve service. This is out on our Facebook page, and you can share that with others. I know a few people have seen it already. Like I say, it's a different Christmas this year. I think one of the toughest things about this season, though, is that so many families are struggling this year, just trying to determine if they should get together, how that's going to work. We've already had some friends that we're aware of that somebody's ended up sick, and the time that they tell us to quarantine and isolate is going to take them through the Christmas holiday. So it's just hard when Christmas, at least I hope for all of you, but especially for, I will say, for most people, I will generalize, that is such a family time of the year. And with everything else that's going on, I'll be quite honest, my wife would probably, I'd have to go get her some depression pills or something, because her family and Christmas are just a part of her DNA, and I've grown into that over the years. But if we couldn't get together in some way with family over the holidays, it would just stink. I can't think of a better word for it. It would just stink. And yet we know that there are some people that are really having to be creative in how they can get together. So you've got that. And to me, one of the most troubling consequences of this season that we're in is this feeling of isolation and separation that so many people are feeling. We're feeling that disconnect from normal as it relates to our relationships. I think of some friends in Springfield, a friend in Springfield that had to celebrate her mom's 90th birthday by standing outside the window of her room at the care center, and they had the happy 90th birthday and balloons on a little thing outside, and she was at the window, but they had to talk to her over the, you know, do the video chat over the phone. Things like that just break your heart. And then you add the loss that so many are struggling with as the disease has taken the lives of loved ones, or people that are struggling financially because their business is closed or they're not working as many hours, or how many of you just admit it's a crazy year? It really has been. So in my mind, this thought of Jesus with us makes the message of Christmas more vital and relevant this year than maybe it has been in a long time. Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. He came that we might have fellowship or be connected with God. He came that we might have peace that results from being in right relationship with God. And he came that we might have hope because he is the Savior. Connection, peace, hope. I think those are messages we need to hear and things that we need in this season. Let me show you another video here. Christmas, celebrating that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, using the New Living Translation today. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. And he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. It's so amazing that God is at work in this world. All the things that went before the coming of Jesus prepared the way for his coming. And there's a lot in this passage that we could delve into about the virgin birth. I know there's a lot of people that are saying in this day and age that it seems an outdated thing. But there's some significance to that. One is that it's what God promised. And they're going, well, how can that happen? Hey, it's God, right? You know, if God can speak the world and everything come into existence, why is it so hard to believe that God, by the power of his Spirit, can provide whatever was needed for Mary to become pregnant? To me, that, you know, we believe in a lot of other things that are way weirder than that, and that have nothing to do with God. So I don't have a problem with this. And the thing is this, is that by being the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus fully meets every need that we might ever have. He knows what it's like to be one of us because he is one of us. And yet at the same time, he empathizes. How many of you ever frustrated? I feel this way so often. You know, somebody shares with me a need or what they're walking through, and there's a part of me that I would just like to fix it. Maybe that's the dad in me. Dads, we like to fix things. And yet realize, I can't fix this. I can be a good listener. I can be empathetic. But I don't have the power to affect change. Well, thank the Lord that Jesus, because he came as God with us, the Son of Man, the Son of God, not only is he able to empathize with us, but as the Son of Man, but as the Son of God, he has the power to affect the change that we need in our lives. Praise God with that, or for that. I want to focus on three things today, as they were brought up in the video about God with us. The first thing is that by Jesus coming to be God with us, he made it possible for us to have fellowship with God. That we can have a relationship with God as his children. And that is such an amazing thing to me. You know, God does not want to have a dentist relationship with us. And I apologize, I'm not trying to demean dentists, but how many of you are glad that you only have to go see your dentist once or twice a year? They might be a wonderful person. Our lady down here, she's wonderful, nice, sweet, has not yet hurt me, which is great. But face it, how many of you get up on the morning of your appointment, I got to go see the dentist today? No, it's like, I got to go see the dentist today. It's not something that we normally, sorry, again, I apologize to the dentists in the world out there. Thank you for what you do. And if I ever have a toothache, please be nice to me. But you see, some people think that, you know, that God's out there and they kind of want to have a dentist relationship with God. Okay, God, I'm in a really bad place right now, so come be a part of my life. All right, that I got through this. I think I can handle it now. Go away, God, until I need you the next time. Thank the Lord that that's not the kind of God we serve. And the kind of God who loves us so much, he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus so that instead of a dentist relationship, we can have a parent-child relationship with a loving heavenly Father who loved us so much, he sent Jesus to die for us. What an amazing thing. Now, for some folks, that's a little harder to grasp or to the beauty of that. If you're in a place where you come from a very dysfunctional family, or there's been abuse, may God bring healing to your heart in that. I know for many years we've been a part of Royal Family Kids Camps and they're that work with foster kids. And for a lot of them, when you talk about God being a loving father, they just kind of look at you with a blank look, because for some, dad's never been in the picture, or when dad was around, things were bad. And so sometimes it can be hard for us, but we think about our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. Doesn't mean we get everything we want. Hey, you know, the kids aren't here. Well, we have representative here. Lizzie, does Mom give you everything you ask for? That's because she's mean, right? No, it's because she loves you. And ice cream for breakfast, as wonderful as that may sound, that is not a good idea. Not a good idea, is it? No. Okay. So sometimes Mom or Dad may say no, and they may deny us things, but it's because they really do love us and want what's best for us. Well, we have a loving Heavenly Father who works the same way in our lives. One of the toughest chapters for me to read is Hebrews 12, when it says that those he loves, he disciplines, that we might share in his nature. He wants us to grow up, to become like him. And you know, that relationship is so important. And it's so wonderful that I get to look up to heaven and say, God, you are my Father. I don't remember exactly how old I was. I think somewhere about 8 or 10. Now, just a little background on this story. I was a late baby. Dad was 54, Mom was 45 when I was born. My brothers are 13 and 14 years older than I am. And as I got a little bit older and started learning about, from friends and stuff, I went through a season where I began to question, was I adopted? Are they really Mom and Dad? I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but I'm thinking old people usually don't have babies. But I remember, and I think it lasted a couple of months. And it's, again, it sounds funny now, but for me, it really was a crisis of identity. I can remember just wanting to hear my dad call me son. To acknowledge that I was his child. That he was my dad. Because there's that vital connection that is there. God loves to be able to call us his son or her, his daughter. That connection that is there, that relationship that is there is so vital. I'm thankful that in those situations where sometimes because somebody has lost a parent or because of circumstances, I'm thankful for those who step in and, their adopted dads. Or there are sometimes people that serve as that dad role that maybe aren't related by blood but are related by love. Because it's so important for us to have that vital relationship in our life. Thank God for moms, but we need dads too. And think about that. Jesus came that we might have fellowship with God and be his sons and daughters. In John 15, Jesus talked about our relationship with him being like that of a vine and branches. And from that close relationship flows fruitfulness, love, joy, friendship. All this is possible because he is Emmanuel, God with us. Thank God that we can have that connection with God that is vital and every day, and that close relationship with our Heavenly Father. Well, that relationship breeds the next thing and brings into place the second thing that we have because Jesus is God with us. Excuse me. And that is peace. We read in Romans 5 about the peace that is ours through Jesus. Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I think the thing that we need to understand here is that peace is more than simply the absence of trouble. Peace comes from that understanding of who we are in Christ and that he is at work in our lives. There comes a point of where, despite the circumstances, we can have a peace because we know God is our Father. We know that we are connected with him. We know that he is at work in our lives, that we're not walking through this alone. Peace is that confidence in the grace of God and the assurance that comes from knowing that he loves us. You know, we learn about this as we keep reading there in Romans 5, beginning at verse 3. It says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us and develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. Did you hear? Read that. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That is an amazing thing. That peace that passes understanding. can fill our hearts. We read about that in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's, in a lot of ways, that's kind of a hard place for us to learn to live. But if you've ever had that kind of a person in your life in this world, that, not saying anybody here is perfect, but I think we all kind of know that person, that they're there when they say they're going to be there. If they say they're going to do something, you don't worry about it. You just know that it's going to get taken care of, that they're just somebody that is reliable, that you can depend upon. That's who God is for us, and that's that peace that we have. We can't always explain why things happen the way they do. We don't know why that deer jumps out in front of us on our way home. That happened to me last Sunday. Made my wife very sad. She has owned two vehicles in 29 years. And now she's going to own a third vehicle. Because we totaled it. Me and the deer. Why at this time? I don't know. But honestly, if I knew it wasn't upsetting her so much, I would have thought, hey, a different car, yay, time to move on. Yeah, I'm getting the look. See, it didn't bug me that as much as it bugs her, and I feel bad for her because she, you know, it's been in our family for 270,000 miles in 12 years. So it is kind of sad to let it go, but on the other hand, it's like God's got this. Somehow God is at work. I'm thankful she wasn't in the car with me. I wasn't hurt. I don't know, the deer wasn't there when I checked the next day, so it must have ran off, silly deer. But that confidence we have, that peace that we have, not that we can explain everything, not that problems don't come, because they do, but because Jesus is God with us, we have a peace that passes understanding. We can't necessarily explain it. That hopefully will permeate our lives. Again, and sometimes I feel kind of bad talking this way, because I've been there where I didn't let the peace rest in my heart. I didn't grasp that peace. I didn't let God bring that peace to my life. I chose to worry about everything. You know, it says don't worry about anything, and instead pray about everything. Well, sometimes I like to worry. You heard about the woman who came up to her pastor and told her that she was concerned because she worried all the time, and he said, well, go and pray about everything. And she came back in a couple of weeks, and she goes, well, pastor, I did what you said, but now I'm worried that I'm not worrying. Yeah, okay, let that one sink in for a moment. But there's a part of me that understands exactly what this is about, that there are those moments in life when we should be chaotic, but because the Lord is with us, that we have that peace that passes understanding. I remember standing in my mother's hospital room as she is suffering from double pneumonia. She can't talk. They've got the oxygen on her. But it's like with her eyes, I could tell she's crying out to God. And it's just me and her in the room, her in the bed, and I'm standing beside her bed looking at her. And there was a peace that came over me. And it's one of those most, magical is not the right word, most spiritual moments I've probably ever had. I felt that peace and a sense of calm in that room. And it felt like somebody was standing behind me with their hands on my shoulders. You know how you would walk up and put your hands on someone's shoulder to let them know that you're there for them. And I thought maybe my brother had slipped into the room. But I turned around to look, and there wasn't. It was just Mom, me, and God. And my mom, that later that morning, I think it was, or within a short time, she passed away. But at that moment, it was like God's presence and that peace was there that said he was aware and he was there and he was part of that situation. I just believe in my heart that even though she couldn't speak the words, in her heart and in her spirit, she was calling out to the Lord, and that the Lord was assuring me of his presence. There, I had that peace. Springfield, Missouri, during my college days, I was riding with a friend, and we were looking at that time, we were involved in street evangelism ministry and looking to see if we might be able to find something to do, some kind of a homeless shelter or something. And crossing the bridge on Kansas Avenue over the railroad tracks, it's probably, what, 100 feet tall? I mean, it's a big drop down there, and we hit an icy spot on that bridge, and the car bounced off the inside and headed straight towards the side of the bridge. And it takes a lot longer to describe it than it did to live it. But in my mind flashed the thought, we're going to hit the side of the bridge, the car is going to flip over, and we're going to fall down onto the railroad yard below, and we're going to die. I mean, in that moment, just that quick, I thought, we're going to die. And again, the presence of the Lord was there. It takes so much longer to describe it. But just that deep assurance and peace and confidence that if this is God's time for me to go, it's okay because he's going to take me to be where he is. It wasn't a worry. It wasn't a regret. I can't say that my life flashed before my eyes. But there was such a powerful sense and presence of the peace of God. In a way, I was almost disappointed when we just slammed into the side of the bridge and got stuck there. There was a little part of me that kind of said, that thought, oh, to be in the presence of the Lord. But that peace that passes understanding is ours because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, the third thing I want to talk about this morning is hope. Hope is a powerful thing. It's what keeps us keeping on and striving to reach our goals. I love that in the Assemblies of God, the compassion arm of our church is called Convoy of Hope. I know our church has been a part of that in the past, where we had the One Day to Feed the World. I think it was when Pastor Tim was here that you guys were involved in that. A beautiful thing. If you haven't been out to their website for a while, go look at what they're doing. I have a friend who serves in Venezuela, and right now you can pray for that country. It's, you think it's crazy here, it's nuts there, and it's not so much to do with the COVID as just the situation there. He was sharing just a couple of days ago that how many of you think about a normal Christmas meal? He said, he was reporting that because of the economic situation there, it's taking like 115 days of equivalent of work, of pay, to provide a basic Christmas meal in Venezuela right now. Can you imagine having to save up 115 days to have a Christmas dinner? So crazy. But what he did share about in the relation to this is he said that one of the things that's happening is Convoy of Hope is feeding over 1,000 people a day in Venezuela. Because people are generous and are giving, and God has blessed them in such ways to take our dollar and just, like the loaves and the fish, take that $1 and feed hundreds of people. It is an amazing thing. Let me quote just a portion of an article from that's called Hope is a Necessity. It says, hope is not a wish. Hope is about taking action to achieve goals, the founding director of Hope Research Center claims. It's identifying how to get there from here and how to motivate people to do that work. That's the essence of hope. And if you have hope, give hope. That Convoy of Hope was founded on the idea that everyone can do something to help. That, to me, is the core of hope. This is not me quoting anymore. But I love that. The idea that everyone can do something to help. That should give us hope. Lord, I can't do a lot, but I brought, my mom packed a fish sandwich for me. I came to hear Jesus talk. Oh, Jesus wants to use my fish sandwich? I don't think it'll go very far. Oh, wait, he fed 5,000 people and had 12 baskets left over. That's part of that hope. Everyone can do something to help. We are not in the business of fabricating feelings. We aim to change lives. This is quoting again. We believe that with the help of people like you, we can give others ample cause to hope, not just to wish for a better future, but to truly have hope that tomorrow will be better than yesterday. See, that hope we have because Jesus came as Emmanuel, that tomorrow will be better than yesterday. Hope moves to action because it fosters the belief that everyone can do something to help. Y'all are familiar with the story of Stone Soup, I hope? Yep. If not, Google it. It'll tell you the story. But that neat thing, everyone can contribute. I think it's neat, a little plug here again, if even, you know, do what I have to do. I set my alarm at 5 and get up on Wednesday mornings and come for men's Bible study. Morning's not my favorite time of the day, but I love the fellowship we have in the Bible study that we have. And we've been looking at Psalm 23. And it ends with a confession of hope that sustains us all the days of our lives. Psalm 23:6 says this, "Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." That's the hope that we have, that God's goodness, his unfailing love pursues us. And that when we get through this life, we get to go home to that place that our Heavenly Father sent Jesus to prepare for us. And that we get to live in the house of the Lord forever. The writer of the Hebrews, in speaking about the hope that believers have in Christ, describes it as a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Earlier in that chapter, he talks about how hope leads to faith and endurance in serving God and caring for others. The hope we have through Christ, knowing he came into this world to be God with us, allows us to continue to live by faith and continue to endure in our serving him and caring for others. I mean, everything else, when you boil it all down, it's very simple. People ask, what is Christianity about? Well, it's about living by faith in God so that we can love God and love others. Our faith in God gives us the hope that allows us to love him and love others. Fellowship with him, peace through him, hope in him as our Savior. These and so much more are ours because Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. So my question is this. We've been talking about the birth of a baby. Have you experienced the new birth as a child of God? That's why Jesus came. He was born that we can be born again. If you have not made that choice yet, can I challenge you this morning? Ask you to allow God to be a part of your lives. That's why he came. Allow him to bring all those things to your life that he came to bring as God with us. The peace, the hope, and so much more. I'm not asking you to join this church, though, if you give your life to Jesus. We would love to be the family God makes you a part of that will help you learn how to live this life as a follower of Jesus. To be there and walk with you and support you and encourage you and that. It's just simply praying a simple prayer, which is really just talking to God. Let's take a moment and look to God. Jesus, thank you that you came. And that Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus to be God with us. Because of that, we can have that connection with you through the new birth, that we can have a peace and a hope and so much more because you are part of our lives. Lord, this morning, if there is anyone under the sound of my voice that has not said, yes, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life, that this morning, just even a prayer, that petition to you, that simple. Thank you that that's why you came, that we might have life and have it to the fullest, to make us children of God, your sons and daughters, so that you can have a part of our lives every single day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you made that decision today and you're present here with us, would you just find me after the service and say, Pastor Rich, I made that commitment of my life to Jesus till I was born again. If you're viewing this online, come to church. Call us, email us, even message us through Facebook. Let us know you've made that decision to follow Jesus. And we will rejoice with you that you are now a son or a daughter of God. Praise the Lord. I found a new to me Christmas song. Maybe you're familiar with it, but I love the message that it has. The song is Everlasting Peace. And I'd love for us to sing this as we conclude our service this day.